All right. Okay, let me start from here. The book of Hebrews chapter 3. Let's start with that. The book of Hebrews chapter 3. Let me start from verse 12. It says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. He said, while it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me. He said, for who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? He said, but to those who were disobedient. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. The next line says, therefore, that's verse chapter 4, let us fear. Please, everybody say, let us fear.
Let us fear.
He said, therefore, let us fear. If while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For he who has believed enter that rest. Just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Let me stop here. Okay, let me just stop from that line where he says, which verse is that now? Verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest. All right? Very important. Let me just stop there. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I want to explain a principle which I have said, I have explained again and again to us, all right, as believers in Christ Jesus, for us to bear in mind. Now, I've explained this thing many times, but of course, where there is no repetition, the people are not established. So I am not ashamed to repeat the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. The power is in the constant hearing. The power is not in, I heard this some time ago. The power is in that the word is always coming, and it's always transforming. And that's the power therein, all right? Now, I want to explain this principle again to us. And that is the fact that, let me start it like this, the word of God works, and we've been talking about that for some time, all right? And what God is doing, listen to this, is that he's rearranging us until we get to the point where what he promised to do can happen by his power. Let me put it like this, that word can manifest itself without our effort. The reason why we keep on listening, the reason why we keep on getting instructed, the reason why we pay attention all the time is so as to have ourselves exposed constantly to the word of God. You know, there's an article I've been writing for a few days now, about 3 days. I've not worked on it for like 2 days now, but I wrote it over like 2 days before that. And, you know, as I was writing that thing, there was a day I was just working on that article, just on and on. There was a time I got so excited, I jumped up. My wife was looking at me that, what is exciting this man? All right, it was something I wrote at that particular point in time. And I don't know whether I can just drop something about it briefly. And that is the fact that, you know, while I was writing, I realized something for sure, okay? That I always knew it, but it was just a good explanation. That you see, the physical realm that we see, all right, is I understand a bit of physics. I just realized that it's actually continuous with the realm of the spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because if you look at it closely, do you understand? You see that everything we see actually, physically, they are actually made of the same thing. Now, you learn a bit of chemistry and physics, most of us. You've heard of the atom. Remember the atom? Uh-huh. All right. And the atom has a nucleus. Can you remember that? And then the nucleus contains protons and Neutrons. Okay, good. Now, we won't go into details, but some people are, they will just run away now. They said, this is why we run away from science. You brought it out to Bible study. I was supposed to cope. You know? But this one I want to just quickly drop for you, all right? Now, the atom, of course, remember the story about it, is like a ball, you know, like a sphere. It's a round structure. And the outer part of it is where the electrons run through. It's not a solid mass of electrons, but the electrons are tiny particles that just run around the atom, all right? You know, I read this one long ago, then I watched it again on TV recently, and that they said if you took the atom, all right, and it's the size of an average cathedral, a big house, that's what they're trying to say, the nucleus is just a tiny pin in the center of it. That's how small the nucleus is compared to the whole atom. The nucleus is less than, let me give you, this is a serious overestimate. That's what I mean. It's actually smaller than what I want to say. The nucleus is actually less than 1%, what am I saying, 1%? Less than 0.1% of the total mass, all right? That's not mass now, size, okay? Size of the atom. Which means that most of the atom is just empty space with electrons running around. Now, I'm going somewhere. Now, if you look into the atom further, the nucleus further, you can further break that thing down until you get to a particular point. Yesterday I was watching on TV, and let me not go into it, talking about neutrinos. I was just smiling to myself because I was writing an article while I was watching this thing. I realized that when you look at it, you know, in the finest level, what really makes up all of these things is what you and I will call energy. Real substance, real mass itself, hardly exists. It hardly exists. Do you understand? It hardly exists. The point I'm trying to make here is this. So I realize that the Bible says, let there be light at the beginning. That is, the foundation of everything that God made is light. When he made light, all right, from there, and this is totally in agreement with what men understand about physics. Now, while I was reading it, I know I was just smiling to myself. I said, listen, while I was writing, the thing was just flowing in my mind. And I realized something. The problem with mankind is that they, like, let's take doctors as an example, the biological scientists, not the physics people, the biology people, all right, doctors and all of that, those who do a lot of research into diseases, they want to tell you, eat this, and you'll be fine. Don't eat this, and you'll not fall sick. Some people eat it, they are not fine. Some people, you know, do everything wrong, and they are okay. I know the reason. I'm trying to bring out something here. The reason is simply because there is something that is finer and more powerful than what they understand that tells those molecules that they see how to behave. That's what I'm trying to explain. There is a reason why the hydrogen atom formed the hydrogen atom. There is a reason why carbon was formed. It was not by chance. The reason is because there is a spiritual energy which is far finer in, you know, is beyond what the, because, see what I'm going to say, the days of Dalton atomic theory, then one day they went finer and saw that there were smaller particles inside the atom. Then they went finer and saw there were smaller particles inside the proton. And they kept on going finer and finer. Do you understand my point? And this is what I'm going to explain to you. The finer you look, the more you realize that there's something behind. The more you look. And the thing that is actually behind everything is what you and I call the Spirit of God. That's it. You know, I said something to you before. Were it not that God was introduced through religion, science would have postulated his existence. The only reason why science cannot seem to understand the existence of God is because of two things. Once you accept him, you have to accept many other things. You have to accept that you cannot covet your neighbor's wife. When the man wants to covet his neighbor's wife, so he can't accept it. That's what the Bible meant when he said, men love darkness. That's why they reject light. Please, I'm bringing out something here. You see, I realize something here, therefore, that what God is actually doing is almost, you know, you can almost explain it using the laws of physics. If you understand it very well. And what is he doing? He's passing, now listen to what I'm trying to say. Because all the molecules of your system, and that's not the only way his power works. It works in the society. The structure of the environment, it works in it. Why should the ozone layer be depleted or not be depleted? The word of God controls that. Now, listen to this. This is not a joke. You know, I teach some subjects to medical students, so I'm forced to read and keep on researching, you know, just doing my literature research and all of that. I know these genes they talk about. I don't think we understand a quarter, that is, of how they behave, why they behave the way they do. There are genes that are there, they refuse to show up, nobody knows why they don't show up. Then after a long time, we'll find out one simple reason. You know, science is very funny. They'll tell that some chemical substance reacted with this and shut it down. Why did they react with this in this person and ignore doing it in the other person? I'm giving an answer to all of these things. The reason is because of what the Bible calls spirit. Are you getting my point? And the reason why we differ, I keep on saying that, in our genes, is simply because the Spirit of God went out and rearranged it. Now, that is not a joke. If you look at it, now you look around, some people are white, Caucasian. Some are black, some are Asians. You understand? At the end of the day, we all came down from the same father, Noah and his children. Why are we different? It is simple. Because at the point in time, God released, you know, when he confused their language, he released a spirit that confused their appearance also. Listen, there is this, look, everything science tries to explain, they have not gone further down. If they had gone far enough down into the depths of it, they'll be able to realize that this was where God placed his finger. Listen, there is no accident in life. If there's a genetic mutation, there is a reason why that mutation happened. And it's a spiritual reason. Please, what I'm saying is a matter of fact. Please, bear it in mind. My emphasis again is the fact that let's not get stuck on what scientists are saying. Let's realize that thing that change things in a particular direction is still working. And it can change them in the opposite direction. That is, there was a time a gene was normal. Alright? It became abnormal and it's been sent down generations. They now say there is this inherited disease. Someone was telling me the other day about Ebola virus. They said Ebola virus, this has been doing for a long time. It stays in the forest. The man was talking science, so that occasionally it will come out. Kill a number of people, then they will control it. It will go back into the forest. As he was saying it, he was talking science, and he was describing how evil spirits behave. He was talking science, and he was describing how evil spirits behave. Please, I'm trying to get out of this physics I'm teaching, all right, and sit down my message properly, so I don't want to confuse people. Do you understand? Now, I'm bringing an issue here. This man was explaining to me, we're just discussing the office. He said it has gone like that for a very long time. That this has been, if you've been reading the news, he said the current one has been the biggest outbreak. It's been the biggest. The only good thing about it, he says that this one, the mortality rate is just about 55%. The previous ones were up to 90%. Okay? Now, let me not sit on Ebola matter now, but I want to bring out an issue. Listen to me. It is a spirit. It's called a spirit of death. And it's going around looking for whom he may devour. And listen, we can drive the spirit back into the forest from where it came. And that wouldn't be the first time. You know, I listened to a message I shared with some of my brethren today. That yesterday, I was listening to this man of God who I listened to a lot, Ken Hagin, teach. He said there was a time, there was an outbreak of flu in the United States. And everybody had the flu. Except they call it either Asian flu or one of the, you heard of bird flu some years ago. Uh-huh. All right? Something like that. So they had down, this was years ago, that was, I don't know, in the 50s or so, somewhere around that time. And everywhere, Everybody was saying they had the flu. Of course, schools were closed. He said once he went to go, one man of God came to town to preach. So he went there. He found that they had closed the meeting down. He said, what happened? That the man of God said he's going home to have the flu. I mean, I don't know how to explain it now. Like, he's sick. He felt sick. So let him go home and go and finish the flu. Fall sick throughout at home. And Ken Hagin said when he got there, he was alarmed. He said that. He said the man felt so sick, they had to hospitalize him. Now, contrast this with his own behavior. He decided this was an evil matter, and no evil shall befall me, and no plague will come near my dwelling. He said one night, he woke up, and his throat was sore, all his body, was aching, which is the signs of what? The flu. And then, the people said that nobody was there, but this happened. Oh, somebody say, do you have the flu? He would say, no, the devil is trying to give it to me and I'm not going to take it. So he lay down there, and when he woke up and said, he told the devil, lie, this one I am not collecting. What you want me to say, I'm putting many words now, is that now I have the flu. And he said, I don't have the flu, I can't have the flu. Jesus paid for me not to have the flu, and Satan, you are trying to give it to me, therefore I will not collect it. After a while of confessing the word of God like that, he fell asleep. By the time he woke up next morning, all the flu, the symptoms, the sore throat, everything had what? Disappeared. And he kept on going around telling everybody, you don't have to have the flu. I had a similar experience. I've told this story before with chicken pox. When I was in Lagos then, I was ill. That is, I was feeling so sick. I didn't know what was going on. I just kept on going about my business. Then one day I woke up in the morning, and as soon as, you know, you just wake up, just rub your eyes, all I felt was bumps all over my face. So I grabbed the mirror, and don't forget, I'm a doctor. The moment I looked in the mirror, I said, yay. I mean, you've seen chickenpox before? The thing was all over me. I said, Father in heaven, let me summarize the story. I collected one of Bishop Oyedepo's tapes, Supernatural Living Series. I put it in, I think, tape 2 or tape 3. I listened to it. When I finished listening to it, I put a hand over my face and I cast the thing. Then I went, had my bath, put powder on my face just so that people won't be staring at me in the house. Just ordinary dressing powder, not a treatment powder, just a white powder, you know. So I just walk around so that the powder will be more obvious. I didn't want to be answering questions. I woke up next morning. I still remember very well how it felt. As I woke up, you know, reflex also. I wasn't trying to check what was happening with me. Reflex, I just rubbed my hand like this. My face was so smooth, I rushed for the mirror again. Looked, it had gone back to normal. God punish you. You know, like they say, God punish the devil. One of the things I have realized in life, you understand, is Satan will give to you what you are willing to take. This man of God I was listening to, he said that then he went to visit some people. He knocked on the door. They said, don't come in, don't come in. You are going to get the flu. He said, no, I am not going to get the flu. I'm coming in. So they opened the door. He sat with them for about an hour, he and his wife, and told them, don't worry, I am not going to get the flu. They were telling some preachers that I'm not going to get the flu. One whispered to him, he said, don't say it loud. So he shouted loud again, why not? You know? He said, the devil may just hear you. Why do you think I'm saying it? I want him to hear. It is the devil I want to hear. There's a reason viruses behave the way they do. That's what I'm going to explain. And those things, those reasons are spiritual. Now, back to where I began from. Why is God treating us the way he's treating us? That is, he makes you leave everything you are doing to come and sit down and listen to me this evening. Or you are listening to this one on maybe by tape or on the web. Why is he making you do it? It is simple. Listen to this. Literally, I'm saying this literally. His spirit is entering into you to rearrange your molecules. Do you know, medically speaking, not everybody can get leprosy? Yeah. No matter how hard you try, most human beings are genetically immune to leprosy. Another one that will interest you. Do you know not everybody can get HIV? If you like, soak them inside the virus. There are a few people that, for certain reasons, the reason has been identified inside the laboratory. You know, for certain reasons, their body says this virus can't enter. There was a reason. Actually, what happened was that it was in one particular country. They stumbled on some prostitutes who were not HIV positive, and they were surprised. Finally, they found out they lacked, let me not go into details, they lacked some critical molecules that the HIV requires. They don't have it. To let you know that these things are, look. There are some kinds of malaria that floats around, and certain human beings can never get it. Why? Because on their red cells, certain molecules are absent. And that malaria needs that molecule to enter. The things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. So all these ones that the doctors can see in the lab is not the real reason. It's not the real reason. The fact is that spiritual things are very real. So, if you read stories that this man went in, he never came, he came out, did not have the flu and all of that. No, can I get into the story? I've listened to him a lot. He said, as a child, God told him once that my angels cared for you since the time you were a child. He said, that suddenly makes sense. That there was a time, you know, everybody will fall sick. He will lie on the same bed as a sick man. Maybe they had them either smallpox or chickenpox, of those things. He would never could get it. It was later he found that it was the angels of God that blocked it and said, this thing can't cross here. Let me tell you the truth. God is saying to us, you can decide to follow the predictions of science or economics concerning the way your life will turn out. But the truth is that they have left a particular level, which is where I'm controlling things from. You know what I'm trying to say? If you expose yourselves, your body, your system, to the word of God enough, it will literally, physically rearrange your molecules until some sicknesses will not be able to pass your skin. And let me say, the doctors will carry you to the lab and find the reason why. But what they will not realize, it was not so before. It became like this because you sat and you were exposed to the word of God. That's what God is trying to do with all of us. In every aspect of life. This is where Christianity, in fact, not just Christianity now. It's Christianity though, but I want to bring out something. This is where the word of Christ that we preach is different from every other people on this earth that claim to be preaching something spiritual. No matter how hard Islam preaches, what they preach, all right, are codes. Do this, don't do that. It's Christianity, is not so. What Christianity is preaching is sit down and listen. When you listen, the power to do or not to do will be conferred upon you automatically. The doing or not doing is a sign of whether you listened or did not listen. I'm not handing you instructions. That's what God is saying. I'm transforming you. I'm not telling you, just walk, do this, do that, so that I will be happy. No, I'm saying if you pay attention to me, the kind of work that will make me happy will walk you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, it's like you walk your dog. You make it go where you want it to go. That's what he's saying. Now, so what's the point I'm making? And I started by explaining, what's God doing with us? Listen. By the time the word of God is through with you, you literally will not be the same person you used to be. literally. You see, if you were not here some Tuesdays ago, when we began to talk on how to bless your children. Please, get the MP3 CDs, all right? Please, please, get the MP3 CDs and listen to the whole series on how to bless your children, all right? It's very important. The reason why I'm bringing that up is that one of the things I explained in that series, okay, is the power of the words. You see, it's not just about praying for your children now, that God, please, will have mercy on them. That is there. No, that is there, important, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that the words you speak to those children as a covenant child of God is not words of advice. You can speak it to children that are a day old and they will still hear it because you're not talking to their intellect. You're talking to the molecules of their body. You're not talking to the fellow's intellect. You are saying, this is your brain. This is how it's going to behave. And brain will hear it. You are talking to the child's immune system. Please, I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. That listen, the word of God is not, that's what I'm going to emphasize. It's not advice. So, the reason, listen to this. The reason why sometimes you obey certain instructions is that you have to make it easy. No, I don't want to use the word easy. You have to allow, that's just the better way to put it, the spirit, which is the power that is in the word of God, to enter. That's what I've been, that's what I want to pick up from now. So that if God gives an instruction, remember I started reading by that the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. Let me say this to you again. The word works. You know, I keep on saying that. The word works. The word doesn't give you advice on what to become. It tells you what you will become. It will tell you what God has made you, that it wants your flesh to manifest. That's how the word of God is. That's how the word of God is. The only problem, that's why I'm doing all of these things. The only problem is where we are. That's why we read from this Hebrews chapter 3. When the word is not mixed with faith, faith is the thing that allows the word to enter. That's what it is. Lack of faith is what manifests as disobedience. I said to you before, God didn't give instructions. His word are not a set of instructions, really. Mm-mm. No. I said this many years ago. The first day, I don't know how I understood it, I don't know. I just told my friends, I said, do you know the word of God is not supposed to be obeyed? It's supposed to be believed. I like that, like Israel, your friend. And the woman will say, thank you for that thunderous silence. I said it then, but when I said it, after I finished saying it, I'm not even sure I fully understood it. What I'm telling you, I remember I said it in 1992, not today. I said, do you realize the word of God is not, around early 90s. I said, do you realize that the word of God is not supposed to be obeyed? It is supposed to be believed. So what are you saying? We can disobey it? No. If you disobey it, it's a sign you have not believed it. I'm not saying that, let's go and disobey. No. Obedience is a consequence, a natural consequence of the fact that that word entered. So if you find yourself disobeying the word, it is because you did not believe it. And we have been explaining that to believe does not mean to just agree. That is the first step. To believe the word, the practical thing is this. To have yourself exposed to it and you hold on to it all the time. The reason why you disobey it is because you did not do that with the word. The kings of Israel, they failed because of one single thing they did not do. God gave them one simple commandment. He said, take the law and write it. He said, when you have finished, that is, make a copy of it for yourself. He said, when you have finished doing that, start reading it. Read it all the days of your life. He said, if you do that, you will discover that you will keep everything that is written inside. The way I used to think about it is that when you keep on reading it, you will remember. No, it is not just about remembering. It is that word that you keep on reading, all right? As you are absorbing it, it is forming your system into something. You know, you hear the world these days, they try to argue that people were born homosexuals. You know the truth? Is that scientifically, if they wish, they can prove it. But what we are saying is that whatever be the reason you identify to why they became what they are, it is because of the absence of light. And if the word of God is introduced to them, it will correct them into what God planned for them to be. That's what we are saying. Don't say because a man was born one way, it is the right way. After all, if somebody is born blind, Jesus can still heal him or her. You won't say, don't touch him, he was born blind. There are many things people are born with. Doctors are working every day to correct. What am I going to say? You see, when people start disobeying the word of God, it's a clear sign that they have not paid it attention. They are not holding on to it. And that is when that word does not work in their lives. What I've been teaching, I ended last time, I'm trying to connect with today, is the reason why this word will not work in the lives of people. Because when what appears sometimes like instructions, obey this, obey that, that obedience is not what, you know, that thing, that obedience or that commandment is not what is going to bring results in your life by itself. It is what allows the word to enter deeper and further so as to by itself produce something. That's what it is. And one of the problems people have is that they get to a particular point, they turn their backs on the word of God so it can't produce in their lives. And what I'm preaching now, all right, which I've been doing for the last two meetings here, is to explain to people that the word works. You have to allow it work. It works. The problem is that the way God arranged it, if you don't want it to work, it will not work. He said the word preached did not profit them because it was not united with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. I said something last time. If you're not here, you can get the tape. I said people don't just refuse to obey God. They obey something else. Now, the other things they obey, actually what it does is to take their attention away from the word that is supposed to be working in their lives. Because the word must be fed to you constantly. It's like electricity. You can't disconnect from it for one moment and expect the thing to keep working. Do you understand my point? That is why, you know, I got a call this afternoon. You know, this morning. Those of you who are around in the morning, you know, there was time I took a call. I was saying, I told somebody, no. The man asked me, he said, do you do motivational speaking? He's a good friend. Well, he's not a very close friend, but he's a brother that we've had many interactions in this arena, that is with the word of God. He said, do you do motivational speaking? I said, no. He said, well, I know you don't, but some people are doing a program. He said, either DFID or USAID, yes, USAID, one of them, and they are doing a program. They are looking for people to speak on this so-and-so subjects. He was wondering whether I would be willing to do it. I thought about it for like 5 seconds. Or is it 3 seconds? I just said, oh, guy, if it's not the teaching of the scripture, forget me. He said, well, okay, yeah, I know. Okay, I just let me ask you whether you'll be able to handle it. I said, no, I'm not handling. Now, please get my point. I'm not saying it's bad, though. I'm not saying it is bad. All right? I'm bringing an issue. Why did I say I'm not handling? And that's because of the kind of, that's my own ministry. Do you understand? I said, no, I don't do such things. Because you see, that what I do is not to teach you methods and how. And those people want somebody to come and teach methods and how. How to plan your retirement. You know, stuff like that. Now, I'm not saying it is bad. I'm just saying that, you see, my own calling is not something I can teach you and then you go away home and go and do it. The thing that comes from my mouth is like wire. It connects you with God. You can't cut it. The moment you cut it, it stops working. Do you understand? It's not a method you can hand over to somebody else and then he will go and walk. You know, he will walk with it and it will get results. The only thing you do with the words I speak is to use it to constantly connect yourself with the power of God. The moment you disconnect it, do you understand? It starts flowing. So when I was offered that assignment, I said, I'm sorry, I cannot go except the people are willing to learn how to connect with the power of God. Do you understand what I want to emphasize? That, you see, that's how the word of God is. That is why you can't turn your back on it for a moment. You can't. The word preached did not profit them. Not being mixed with a particular attitude. The attitude is that of constant connection. You know, when we're talking about Christ, the final sacrifice of rather the cross of Christ, then I explain a principle that you see when Moses put that serpent on the cross, those who got healed by it had to fix their eyes on it. They had to fix their eyes on it because it was a constant flow of energy that was rearranging their molecules. And this is what I'm explaining to Christians today. You cannot, oh God, you cannot cut away from that constant connection at any point in time. When the word of God is flowing to you right now, you know, Jesus said something in John chapter 6. He said that the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. What he was saying is that, you see, as I'm speaking, for example, you hear, you have heard, thou shalt, how did Moses say they should divorce their wives that time? As an example, write them a writ of divorce and all of that. He said, but I say to you, in the beginning it was not so. He that made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his wife and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh, and whatever God has joined together, no man shall put asunder. Now, there are two ways to look at that. You see, God does not want you to divorce your wives. Is that correct? Yes, yes, it is very correct. But you see, the Lord is good. Oh, the Lord is good. If you marry a Jezebel, you will ask God whether he was sure of what he was talking about when he said that thing. And if your husband is Nabal, Foley is his name, Nabal is his name, and Foley is with him. You know, you'll be asking, God, look, are you very sure of what you're talking about? Do you understand what I'm saying? And now that's where the problem is. Because you think that Jesus was handing out instructions on what to do and what not to do. Unfortunately, it's not like that. The impression we have is that Jesus said, don't divorce your wives. And so it's something you have to try not to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But that is the superficial way of looking at it. The deep way is this. Once he says those words, you could interpret it the way Peter and Co. did and say that, this is a hard thing. And then the word preached does not profit you. Are you getting my point? As long as you are looking at the word of God as a set of instructions you are supposed to try and obey, you will have problems. So this is the point. We could look at it as we're saying, make sure you don't divorce your wife, otherwise I'll be angry. But that was not what he was saying. That's how Peter and Co. reacted. They didn't understand yet what it meant to be in the presence of the word of God. What was he saying? He was saying to them simply, in the beginning was not so. Now he began to give them the plan of God. Every man that begins to nod and say amen, 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 okay, we get it, we receive it, we accept it. What happens? He becomes bound to his wife so that trying to remove her will be like ripping off his arm. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to explain. It will not be that, don't take it, if you are not careful, just because Jesus said that, I can't divorce you. Otherwise, by now, your father will have you back inside his house. You know? No. It is that If the father were to come and say, give me my daughter back, the man will have the same feeling as if you held his hand and you take a knife, you want to rip it off from the shoulders. Because the two will have become what? One flesh. That is, that word of Jesus, those words, they were not giving somebody counsel. It was a fusion word. You hear what I call it? It was a word of fusion. It was a word by which a man got fused with his wife. It was a word by which you fuse them so tightly together that if you try to separate them, they'll say it is like killing a human being. But when it is preached, it doesn't profit many people because it is not mixed with faith in their hearts. Do you understand my point? What is the reason why it does not work? Why is it that it doesn't bind the man and his wife? Why is it that it does not produce healing? Why is it that it does not produce prosperity? Why is it that it does not produce long life? Why is it that it does not produce the things that God said it should produce? Because of this thing called unbelief. What is unbelief? They stopped looking while he was trying to weld them together. They started looking somewhere else. Do you understand what I'm saying? They started looking somewhere else. It is that somewhere else they were looking at that the Bible calls unbelief. I said it last time, people just don't refuse to obey God. They obey something else. And those things that they are obeying are actually the distractions that prevents the word of God from working in their lives. It is not as if they are just disobeying God. Do you understand my point? That is, the disobedience is a result of the fact that they didn't let God work. God was not trying to say, obey. No. He said, listen, pay attention. What you and I call disobedience is the same thing the Bible calls unbelief. It's a distraction while we obey something else. The focus on the word of God was to allow the Spirit of God enter into us and do its work. That's why in this life, you must fight everything that turns your eye away from the word of God, even if it's a friend. Everything that turns your eyes away from the word of God must be fought. You must fight it. Because it's an electric connection. You know, it's like you're charging your phone. It's not yet fully charged. Somebody comes and removes the charger. Do you understand? Why? He wants to watch a program. And there's only one port where you can plug that phone. You can say, because my phone was plugged some time ago, unplug it now, it will still be receiving the charge. Once you unplug it, charge stops flowing in and instantly starts discharging. Do you understand what I'm saying? The things that we obey, that we call disobedience, because once we obey them, it is not that we are disobeying the word of God. It was not as if God wanted, okay, obey so I can bless you. That is looking at it on a mundane level. The truth is that God was saying, focus, so I can pour my spirit into you. That spirit, when it enters into you, the manifestation of it is what you call obedience. So if God welds a man and his wife together, where we're using as an example, what we used as an example a while ago, even though you didn't tell him, don't divorce your wife, he can't understand why he should. Have you ever seen anywhere where God said, hear ye men of Israel, do not cut off your legs and your arms? Now, have you ever seen that commandment? Hear ye people of Israel, thou shalt not remove your right arm by the shoulder joint, nor shall you remove the left hand at the shoulder. Thou shalt not remove your legs at the knee, or remove it at the hip. They would have said, is that all we need to do to please you? Don't worry. Don't worry. We are fine. That's how ridiculous the commandment would have been, that men don't divorce your wives. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because that word was a word of what? Fusion. That word would have blended them together. But when they didn't understand it, Peter and Co. said, This thing you have said is hard. This thing you have said is hard. Because they didn't understand how it was working. They would have understood that that thing is actually easy. Because it's not an effort. We don't put our effort there. We put our effort on focusing on the word and listening to him. We have been saying it again and again. Listen to this. Faith does not mean I agree. That is the beginning of faith, to first agree. Faith means I'm permanently connected to that thing. No matter the things I see around, every other thing is a distraction. Every other explanation is a distraction. And I must fight them. That's why you can't obey God halfway and obey somebody else halfway. The wire is not well connected. Listen, I said something last time, which is what I'm going to connect with. So those points of disobedience, are you seeing now, is actually the point at which the power of God starts flowing into people's lives. That's why I said, listen, this Christianity is not a joke. Please, it is not a joke, realize it. We have to enter into the promised land once we leave Egypt. Everything in life that says obey me and disobey the word of God, what that thing is doing is that it's cutting off your ability to imbibe the truth, which is the spirit, which is the energy of God to produce results in your life. That's what it is. Everything that says disobey, it is not just about don't obey the word. It is like I am disconnecting you from the power of God. That's what I am doing. When I say don't obey truth, I said something last time. The reason why many people don't obey truth, of course I said it just now, is because they are obeying something else. And what is the something else they are obeying? Sometimes they are obeying quick results. Let me quickly get promoted. I've used this illustration many times. Those early days, shortly after my NYSC, when the banking industry in Nigeria was still booming, growing like mushroom. I still remember there's one big man in Nigeria, if I mention the name, you quickly know him. In one bank, he wanted to be made a director or something like that. Anyway, a powerful fellow on the board. They refused. He removed his money and opened a bank. Do you understand? I have some, assuming I have some billions of naira in GT Bank. I said, listen, I hold a lot of shares and I want to be on the board of this bank. They said, oh, guy, it doesn't work like that. I said, okay, I withdraw all my money, go to CBN, register. No, that's how banks were growing all over the place. So you see one young boy who's still learning how to shave. He's an assistant manager. Yes, it was all over the place. And I kept on arguing with people that time. Because you see, some things are just clear. It's the word of God. I said, the Bible says you should cultivate faithfulness. I said, you guys are not cultivating faithfulness. They say, move from here, move from here, move from here. You move around. After a short while, you're an AGM. Because the banks usually will give you the position higher than where you are coming from. So the more you move, the faster you are promoted. So you will see people that Jesus will say and say, you have had 5 husbands. A young man started working just about 5 years ago, less than 10 years ago. He has worked in like 8 different banks. Why? Here, he was an officer, grade 2. 6 months later, next bank, higher pay, officer, grade 1. After that, he jumps eight months later, another bank, he's an assistant manager. Why? He said he's going up. He's trying to rush up early to become what? Manager. Now, I said, but there's something you guys are not noticing. That the Bible says, cultivate faithfulness. And I can't see any guy here cultivating faithfulness. Now, when I say they got results, now that's the next point I want to make. The results you got is the one you worked for. Be careful in life that you don't build your life around people who got results. Because, listen, God did not tell Adam, you will never eat again. He only said, From the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. And after you sweat and sweat and sweat, this earth will bring you thorns and thistles. You can use it to weave a very nice tiara on your head. People will think, but it is still thorn and thistles. That, listen, your life is going to be full of sorrow. But while you are striving, you will get some bread. So, now, I'm bringing an issue. But there is a bread that God wants to give people. So all the things they are obeying, what is he doing? He's distracting them from letting the Spirit of God flow into their lives so that God can produce his own bread. So that's why somebody said that, is this right, is this wrong? Sometimes in Christianity, it's hard to say, this is sin, this is not sin. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, you know, somebody said that, is it a sin to do this? There are things that I will do. Like now, the man who called me said they want to go and do train people on how to do their retirement and stuff like that. Is it a bad thing? There are people who do it regularly. But for me, no. Because, you know, one of the major reasons why I didn't even agree. Because as soon as I finished saying it, you know the way it is. This is Nigeria now. They say it's USAID that's doing it. And they do first, so they are looking for resource persons. What's the first thing that comes to an average person's mind? How much? Is that it's a two-day program. They need just two resource people. And then, so the man's trying to... So the first that comes to my mind is that 2 days talking for USAID shouldn't be bad. The moment that thought dropped in my mind, I told him, I'm not doing. Now, listen to me. It's not a bad thing. If that's your business, go and do it. But that thought dropping in my mind shows it was not my business. As soon as the thought dropped in my mind, I just said, I'm not doing. If they are willing to have me share the word of God with them. I mean, I've gone to speak for a bank before. That was many years ago. A man called me. I don't know how we got to nature. I said, we need to see. We need to talk. So he thought we needed to discuss terms. So we agreed to meet downstairs here. So he came. So he talked at the end of the day. And I said, listen, you know, you called me Pastor Banky, right? Yes. I said, you know what I do? I teach the scriptures. The man, you know, maybe wasn't that okay. This is what I charge per hour and stuff like that. I told him flat, I teach the scriptures. So your bank is organizing a regional program, training, for all the staff are gathering from all over the place. And you guys want me to come and talk? I said, no problem. But I'm coming there to preach Bible. Is it okay with you? He said, actually, yes, sir, it is. Because what my regional manager said, or is it their guy from Lagos, is that they want a pastor to come. I said, oh, that's what you want. I said, no problem, I'll see you there. So the man was waiting any other thing. I said, no, that's all. I want to just clarify that. Okay, that's all. I said, yes, that's all. You can go. Maybe, I could feel it. The man was going to say, okay, this is what I charge, you know, is a bank. So this is what, as man of God must eat, you know. And the Lord is good. And the Lord is good. All right, so back to what I was saying. So you see, the issue here, all right, is not about what is sin, what is not sin. It is sin to me, anything that will remove my eye from where it is locked on, plugged to that current of God, through which the energy of God is flowing into me and producing my own prosperity. Do you understand what I'm explaining? Because once you take my eyes away, that was what Satan was trying to do, turn these stones to bread. Jesus said, listen, man shall not live by that bread alone. Because if he went around turning his stones to bread, what was happening was that he was cutting himself away, disconnecting that wire that was connected him with divine supplies. That's what this life is about. That's what the word of God is about. Listen, my emphasis, listen, make sure that nothing cuts you off. And I need to say this because that's actually what I came to say before this entered my mind and I've been on it for some time. There are many people, last time we said it, you know, I was trying to explain that what happens is this. What happens is that we obey something else. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Once we have obeyed something else, it disconnects us from the word of God. So a man doesn't want to go and hear the word of God when he knows why. What will my neighbors say? Can you see what it is? You know, My family has been in this church. We are elders in this church. But God now sends the word of God to the fellow. If I go now, they will say that I have... Do you understand? He begins to obey societal demands. And that cuts him off from the word of God. God still tries his best to bless the fellow. Tries his best. And last time I ended with it, many people, in fact, that first day I said it, many people are stuck on one spot. Do you know why? The current of God is no longer flowing. And my message to you this evening is, you have to go back to that point and go and reconnect. Listen, it is not about which method did you use. Many times, you know, of course, because I'm in ministry, and for a long time, I may not have a certificate from a particular Bible school, but let me just tell you something. I have done more course content than many people that have doctors of divinity. I don't know whether I can say that humbly or not, but try and believe that I'm saying it with humility. No. I've told you before. It's not a joke. I have gone through more courses. Just to give you a testimony, two testimonies. I had a friend, we used to call him pastor when I was a youth copper. After we finished NYSC, he wrote me a letter. He had a bachelor's in theology. I had a bachelor's of medicine and surgery. We stayed in the same barracks where we did our youth service in Taraba State then. He wrote me a letter shortly after youth service and said that interacting with you, I was challenged to go and study the scriptures. And this was a man who had a bachelor's in theology. I came out of medical school and a house job here. He came fresh from a theology school. And we met during NYC, so we used to interact. So when we start arguing on scriptures, I used to speak from a position of strength. And what was it? Because while we were studying medicine in my room in school, you know, thank God there was no football to watch. There was no Big Brother Africa with their house burnt up, thank God. Nothing. All we did with our free time. In fact, I remember very well, there was a time God raised me up like that. And I'm going to class. If I'm reading physiology, I carry physiology textbook. Then I carry Exceedingly Growing Faith by Kenneth Hagin and a Bible. So these are, I carry the three of them in my class notes. So four books, because today is physiology day. So I walk to class, sit down. As a rule, I first do two chapters of Exceedingly Growing Faith. That one doesn't give headache. Nobody's testing your exam. So it relaxes your soul. When I finish it, I give the Lord thanks and I open my physiology textbook and start reading. I did that throughout my years in school. All right? So that was the reason, okay? And then, of course, I continued. We used to go to those days in Winners in Lagos. We used to go for School of Ministry, Bishop Oyedepo. So I'm with them morning till evening, 3 days at a stretch. Being taught. Not to talk about CDs and tapes and books, all right? So when I'm talking course content, believe me, I'm not joking. Okay? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Anyway, because I've been doing this for a long time, you understand, I've heard all kinds of instruction, all kinds of advice on how to build church, build ministry, all of those things. And the vast majority, all right, they do not focus on my being connected with the Spirit from heaven so as to work out effective ministry in my life. They are teaching me methods. I've seen people teach you on how to pull your microphone, how to raise the voice, how to suspend the audience. That the man finished, I just closed the message. I don't want to hear again. I didn't come here to hear methods. Do you understand my point? I speak things I'm persuaded concerning. What am I going to emphasize? If I'm connected with heaven, the effectual ministry will come out of my life naturally. Amen. That's how it is. So many of the things I refuse to get involved in ministry, it was to prevent myself from being disconnected. Listen, somebody will try, listen, to show you how to do your business fast and quick. The Holy Spirit will let you know it's a disconnection. I told you what people obey are those, when they are disobeying, they are obeying something. You know, I keep on saying that. What do they want? Rapid results. They want to be like somebody else. This is a ministry thing. I told of one man of God that his own ministry, he knew his ministry. He knew it. He said he knew he was supposed to be singing songs and blessing people with powerful words in ministration in songs. But nobody gave him respect. So he obeyed the crave for respect. It's called the pride of life. He opened the church. Those are the places where you disconnect from the flow from heaven. Where you have removed your wire from where it's supposed to be plugged. Listen. Like I said to you, where I was actually going, let me see what I can sit on it briefly, is there has to be a reconnection. And one thing I like about the Spirit of God is alive and well. It's not a general spirit. It's a specific spirit. What I mean is that the Holy Spirit knows you by name. It's not a spirit of principle. He knows your name. So as I'm preaching, he will be telling you, you know where you disconnected? You remember where you disconnected? And my message to you this evening, you have to go back there and do what? Reconnect. Sometimes you say, but what if it's a physical place I can't go back to again? There's a spiritual reconnection. Yeah. And that's what John talked about, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we shall confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Some people need to close church, they open though. I am not joking. Some people need to close it. I thank God for Pastor Sunday Bakari once. He opened branches all over the place. So one day he came back and called everybody together. I said, okay, from now we are closing branch. So you have a choice of two. Either you come back home, close the branch, or if you think you can stand on your own, we will let you go. Branch is not bad. Do you understand? But for him, he knew it was not in order. I've seen people open branches in places. And like I said, I pray to God that those amongst those who come to listen to me must be ministers so they can carry this word and go and help them. And they need to be helped themselves. It's very common in churches. Church starts in Enugu. It opens a church. Enugu is even good. Enugu is rich these days. People like you in Enugu, you can give offering. Thank God. Say thank you. Somebody say amen. Say amen now. Uh-huh. So Enugu, forget the days of Enugu didn't have money. Now Enugu has money. Amen? Amen. Say amen, please now.
Amen. Uh-huh.
And your own will come to you abundantly in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. But you know those days, like, no, the money's in Lagos. The money's in Abuja. The money's in Port Harcourt. The money's in America and the money's in UK. Many pastors open branches in those places for one single reason. So as to get money to feed back the headquarter church. Listen to me, if you are like that, close it. That was where you disconnected. It's not right. Many people open businesses that they don't know how to do, they don't like, they don't care. Why? Their neighbor used it to make money fast and they bought a house. So you see, he starts obeying something else. And that has been the distraction of his soul. So that word is no longer flowing. And this is a problem with quick, you know, when you have quick results in some things. Anything you get results in disobeying the order of God actually is inferior to where you would have gotten to in life if the word of God was allowed to produce its effect in your life. That is a matter of fact. One that's very common these days is musicians. Because listen, if you sing in church, there's a limit. Yeah, I'm not saying it's wrong to sing outside. Do you understand my point? But whatever it is you are doing, you know, you must understand that you are doing it as part of obedience to God. Let no man, let nobody use money to attract you out of your destiny. Being as famous as Michael Jackson means nothing. You can die trying to fall asleep. You know that's what happened to Michael Jackson. I remember the days of, what's the name of our brother? Too legit to quit. What's his name? MC Hammer. MC Hammer went so broke shortly after. It was unbelievable. Whitney Houston died broke and owing people. I hope you know that. You did not know? Before she died, I had read that she was broke. You remember Whitney Houston's cause of death? What was it? Drug overdose. There's a book, I told you, there was a book that kept me awake the other night. I was reading it. The man talked about how fast his life was moving. That celebrities, he was mentioning names of big people that I don't know much, many of them, but he mentioned one name. Have you ever heard of Vin Diesel? I'm sure those are, yes. He said, Vin Diesel was my bouncer. He said, that's men who worked for him. That's where they went to become big. But a few years after he made it very big in a world like that, on the street, when he sees big boys used to beg him to come to his club, he'll be hiding because his life was, in fact, he said there was a time he died for 45 minutes. He was surprised when he woke up afterwards. Why? He wanted to be famous. He wanted to be rich. Many books, they get attracted away. And listen to me, there is nothing Satan can give anybody that God was not planning to give the person more before. Nothing. Nothing. All the glamour and fame people are fighting for, the truth is that it's literally empty. This is not about being religious. You know, I'd rather be Pastor Banky any time than be Michael Jackson. This is not about being religious. I know even you would rather be Pastor Banky than be Michael Jackson. Yeah, forget the money. Forget all of this. I'm just explaining the fact that, listen, you don't want to be some of these men, actually, that many people are disobeying the order of God to become like. Because they don't know exactly what they are going through. The days that Chris Okotie was reigning in Nigeria, many people here are too young to remember. The man confessed later when he gave his life to Christ that many of those days, because he had a permanent suit in Federal Palace Hotel in Lagos. As a young boy, a student in UNN here, UNEC, law student, so many of those days, he would come out of the window and the greatest desire of his heart was to jump out and just die. That's what he was just wishing for. That, let me just have the power to climb out of this window and just jump out and die. This is a young man who used to fly from Lagos to Enugu to attend lectures. Do you understand? It's like the bunch being in school. But in the midst of that, he said what he wanted to do was to commit suicide. When people outside were watching him say, this man is lucky. He's living in Federal Palace Hotel. All he's thinking about in Federal Palace Hotel is, please allow me jump out of the window. By the time I hit the floor, I'll be dead. And you put me out of all these troubles of life that I'm in. When Solomon said vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. It's like chasing after the wind. He wasn't joking, no. He meant it. He was there. One of our brothers said he watched a movie, a documentary, about Beverly Hills. Is it in Hollywood? Hollywood, yes. Said the man, this is not a Christian. The man was talking. He said, listen, don't come here. This thing has a spirit that it sucks you in, it takes over your life. That the best thing you can do for yourself, please don't come here. He had been there. So that place is not a place to be. See them walking on cartoon, on the red carpet. Oh, what is it? You see all of those things? Is total emptiness. And this is not about saying that being rich is bad. That's not what I'm talking about. Being rich is good if God blesses you. Oh, being rich is very good if God blesses you. In fact, the Bible says the blessing of God makes rich. How do people tap into that blessing? That's what I'm talking about. They must remain connected and not let the glamour of this world attract them, because what that thing does is to distract them away. I remember a young woman was following us for Bible study those days. Then she got a boyfriend that we never saw her again. I told my wife, I said, did you see? All this man came to do in her life. Is he a boy or man? I don't even know which one of the two now. But whatever it is God came to do in her life was to take her away from hearing the word of God. Some people think, it is this, it is that, he wants to marry, is immorality? No. You can analyze it the way you like. Satan says she wasn't here. Satan just says she was not here. What is it that will do, that will make sure she doesn't hear? Give her a boyfriend. I thought that my wife would say, Bible study, say, no, we have work in the office. Bible study, no, I'm busy. Bible study, they start everything, you know? explanation. What happened? He had disconnected her. I'm saying this to you. I'm not talking about that young woman. I don't know where she is right now. But this is the way it is. Whatever it is that God planned you for you to be, you will never become it until you reconnect. There is nothing that you can wish or imagine for your life that God did not plan better for you. Nothing. Nothing. All the things people pursue in life are the things that just disconnect. Listen, let me stop it here because I'm watching my time very closely. Wherever it is that you disconnected, the message for you tonight is go back there and reconnect. One day, a young man told me downstairs, he said, I've been missing you, sir. In my mind, if I slap you, Israel was with me that day. He laughed. Why? You are missing me and you are in Enugu. How can, what does he mean by missing me? He used to come hear me teach. So why don't you come? He started telling one long cock and bull story on why we don't see him anymore. You must understand, I'm not one counting who is coming, who is not coming. That's not what my problem is. But you have to be careful in life when you are making your choices. Because those choices, the problem with their spiritual choices, they disconnect you if it's a wrong one. That is what the problem is. It is not go to church and go and learn the principles of prosperity so you can prosper. No, it is go and connect. Just go and connect. I went to preach once in Abba. I finished preaching. I said, look, that God has keys for everything. I was just doing something. One young man just walked up to me at the end. He said, what I can, guys laughing because he was there, that he was with me as we're eating. He said, I can give him two of those keys. Just two. So he can use those keys and quickly use it to prosper. You see, that's the problem with the law of Christ. You think church is just go and connect, they collect the two keys and then go to market, use it to prosper. No. No. With church, it is to what? Come back and connect with the Almighty. Then starts pouring a spirit into you. As that spirit is entering into you, it is setting you on your feet. In the area of prosperity, it is setting that young man on his feet. It may not happen when he wants it. Because why does he want it so suddenly? Is it not so he can show off to? And God is not competing with those you are competing with. All those competitions are because you don't know who is greater. God knows how great he is. Are you getting my point? He knows. He's not confused. He doesn't have to prove it to you or to anybody. The young man wanted just two of the keys. Listen, Christianity is not like that, though. It's not just grab two keys and that's it. No, it is remain what? Connected. And I'm saying to you, as you're connected, the energy of God is flowing into you. Amen. Literally, it's rearranging your molecules. Is making you immune to certain diseases. Is curing genetic disorders in your system. Amen. It is removing poverty from your mind. Amen. Oh, a few days ago, my sister and my mom and I were gisting. And I told them, I said, this is why people are poor. When you hear when you hear people talk, that is, as far as they are concerned, every rich man is in a cult. Once you are thinking like that, you are going to be poor for a long time. Because you are not going to join a cult. Why are they flying private jets? Like I keep on saying, because they are going to private places. And they have private money. And it's none of your business. Like I always say, some people's cars are some people's private jets. I went to a village once for a wedding. I came out to make a call on a normal Android phone. You know, big screen though. Two young village boys were jumping over my shoulder to look at my phone and whispering to themselves. And I read that to these boys. This is just my phone, not my car. My car is a private jet where they are standing. You get my point? So don't stop pointing fingers. There's a mentality you will have, you will never be rich in life. Are we just going to sit there and say, let's remove the mentality? No. Once you are connected, the Holy Spirit goes there and rearranges that mentality until the charge around your system attracts prosperity. Listen, the power of God is what tells your molecules how to behave, not what you inherited from your father. That's what I'm preaching. Be connected. What did I say? Tell your neighbor. Tell somebody else. Listen, everything you are looking for in life is inside that connection. Yes, it's there. And one thing I can say to you again is, listen, God created you for a purpose. As long as you are connected, you will fulfill that purpose in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It will not happen in this life, all right, that you have regrets. No. Listen, you will be. Let me just summarize what God will do for you in one word. You will be satisfied.
Amen.
That's the summary of it. That's the summary of it. Ooh! That's the summary of it. You will be satisfied.
Amen.
That is the summary of it. In fact, that's where I'm stopping it. In this life, you remain connected, you will be satisfied.
Amen.
He said, with long life, I will satisfy him. The emphasis God has is what? Satisfaction. Listen to me. In this life, you will be satisfied.
Amen.
Just bow down his hands and begin to give the Lord thanks. Thank him for this word. Thank him for his word.